reaching five New England states. It's Greg in the Morning Buzz.
Yeah, baby, it went into overtime last night.
Eight-tenths of a second to go.
It's the Celts Court Report with Brian Scalabrine.
Yes, it is. Former Boston Celtics NBA champ. The Court Report with Scal, brought to you by our friends at Wentworth Douglas Hospital, now open at Pease. We say good morning to Mr. Scalabrine, live from Washington, D.C. Hey, Scal.
How you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Worked a little overtime yesterday. Unpaid, of course. I did it out of the goodness of my heart.
It's because it was well worth it.
It's
because you love it. That's why. It's because you love it so.
That's it.
You know. So
we've been waiting for this. I've been waiting to talk to you because as of 2 weeks ago, I was just kept shaking my head. And now we finally, like you said, just wait, be patient. It's going to turn around, and things have finally turned around for us.
Seven in a row, almost not, but yeah, we'll take it, right?
Yeah, you know what's amazing is, I have buddies, and everyone's a fan, and they want to talk about basketball, but you get random people coming up to me, hey, you know what, I think we should start Marcus Smart, and this has been going on, and usually my response is, like, what do you guys think, you know more than Brad Stevens? Like, the guy's around the team every single day, he runs practice, but
right.
The way that they sort of tripped into the starting lineup, you know, with Jalen getting hurt in that Dallas game and then Marcus starting, they've been unreal. And he is just unbelievable as far as the plays that he makes. You can go around the NBA and watch, and I watch a lot of games.
Yeah.
And, you know, once in a while you'll see a big-time hustle play and a guy will get a loose ball and you'll go crazy over it. Hey, man, you know, this is amazing play by this guy. Look at this hustle. Marcus Smart does it every night. He does it 10, 15 times a game. And it's just, just as amazing as watching Kyrie knock down two threes late in the game.
Like he did.
It's just as impressive to see a guy like Marcus Smart do what he does on the basketball floor.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Go ahead, Cali.
Scal, I was in the car last night listening to the radio broadcast. At the end of the game, Celtics are up three, I don't know, there's like 15, 20 seconds left, and Washington's not a good three-pointing machine. Not a good three-point shooting team, and we're a good defensive three. Why did Brad Stevens, did you like the strategy of him fouling there? Because it didn't seem to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. I mean, like, a lot of stuff has to happen you have to make the first, then you have to miss on purpose. And if you go back, the only thing that didn't happen is Rozier and Jason Tatum are supposed to crash in and get the shooter. And that's how all has to be communicated. And it just didn't happen on that play. But, you know, I've been around the league a long time. That would be a situation in which I would prefer to go down that road, give him two. And I don't think that Brad Beal missed the free throw on purpose. I think they were just going to play this free throw game out.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to do, if you like to get a little bit nerdy, you're trying to get to the point where the Washington Wizards run out of timeouts. And now they have to go full court. They banged out a timeout. So instead of letting them run a play, you do the foul thing. They shoot two. They make two. You come back. You you make two, and you play that game. And it's more about getting the Wizards to run out of timeouts.
I got a question from a fan of yours. Ed wrote in, and he was kind of asking, with the lineup changes and, you know, the injuries and stuff like that going forward, do you think that they'll go with Irving, Tatum, Smart, Morris, and Horford because it seems to be working? Do you think what is Brad going to stay with that?
Yeah, I can't imagine at this point, as well as these guys have played, that like Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving, it seems like to me, will be the backcourt moving forward.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine Brad making a left turn. You know, things happen. Like, if Marcus Smart gets hurt and Jaylen Brown comes back, and then he starts playing well, the team starts playing well, you know.
Yeah.
But it looks to me, and I think more than anything, you know, Smart and the little plays that he makes, and whether he makes shots or misses shots, what he does is he allows Kyrie to focus his energy on what he's great at,
yeah.
And that is touring the basketball, not having to guard, the other team's best player, because, like, Marcus just, if John Wall's hot, he takes over, he guards him. If Brad Beal's hot, he guards him. And for a guy like Kyrie, that's a huge, huge thing for him, because it's not, you know, going through an NBA season, carrying the offensive load. That's why two-way players are amazing. And I just think he allows Kyrie to be the best version of Kyrie.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, I grew up watching the Celtics in the old Boston Garden. Dave Cowens, JoJo White, John Havlicek, on to Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. Who
knows? Dang, how old are you? You didn't watch those guys. You're not that, Greg. I know you. I don't think there's no way you're that old.
No, when
were you born?
I was born
1974.
You're killing me. 61, brother. I'm older. I'm 56.
Oh, you are old.
Thank you very much.
You old.
Thank you.
But he's not retiring, thank goodness.
No, but I'm a young old. That's the thing. Let me ask you this, though.
How old? That's impossible.
No, it's true.
I got to move to New Hampshire. you were born in 61?
I was born in 61. No way. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look at
it. Oh, man.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
You're definitely doing it. That's a great job.
Thank
you. And you're doing morning radio. Yeah. How are you doing? You're really doing life well.
Thank you.
He doesn't need all these compliments.
But here's my question, Scal, though. Like, those are the basketball heroes for me when I grew up. And for you, though, who were your heroes, you know, in that you grew up watching and kind of emulating?
Yeah, so I hit the tail end of Bird. Yeah. Magic, like that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up in the Jordan generation.
Yeah.
Right? The NBA on NBC and watching Michael Jordan on Sundays, you know, like, so I didn't, and I grew up in Seattle, so I have the Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, that kind of era. So, mm-hmm. you know, like my favorite player growing up was Detlef Schrempf. And then when I started studying the game and going back and watching, they used to have that Hardwood Classics. I used to watch all those games.
Yeah.
Larry Bird by far became my favorite player. The reason he was is his all around game and his passing ability. It wasn't just shooting, you know, him getting 60 points or anything like that. It was his playmaking that I gravitated toward. How could a guy this big, you know, he's not slow for a human being standard, but for an NBA standard, he's kind of slow.
Right.
His mind was so fast and he saw what was going to happen before. So that's why when I got older, I gravitated towards, you know, watching Larry and mm-hmm. his ability to make plays at 6'9", 6'10", is insane.
Crazy. Yeah. Go ahead, Kelly.
You were in the league at the time, but it must have hurt then when Seattle, the Sonics left and became the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm sure you'd love to see him get a team back.
Yeah, so it's a little bittersweet. I loved the team. I loved everything about it. But every time I went back to Seattle, I had to, like, buy 40 tickets for people. I had to deal with that. And to me, I'm telling you, with my life, I love streamlining my life. I like cutting out the fat.
Hey, man.
I do what I think is what's important.
Yeah.
And that got a little out of hand. But when they left, I never had those problems again. So that was pretty cool. But I do think that they deserve a team. And the people of Seattle, they love the song. It's like the business side of basketball is sometimes a little bit odd for people to understand, and real estate deals and leases and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now with this new arena that they got, it'll be interesting to see if Seattle gets a team.
Yeah, well, as a 56-year-old, just let me tell you, you're on the right path. If you're cutting out the fat, and you that's the way to go, man. Get rid of the useless noise.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, brother.
The greatest word in the history of words is no. I mean, that's such an underrated word. People need to use that word more often.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I like this guy.
What about when you hit people with this one? Like, you know what? I think I would love to, but I'm not going to do it. Sorry.
No, dude. Yeah. I know. It's funny. The older you get, you'll be like, I don't really want to go to that party. I just don't.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Don't. Yeah, I'm really sorry.
So, Scal, listen, this is we're going to be on vacation next time you're scheduled to be on, so we won't talk to you until the new year. So we just want to wish you and the family a very happy Christmas. We hope you enjoy some time with the family and enjoy the holiday, you know?
Yeah, you guys too. And remember that magical no.
Yeah, remember Christmas time. In the words of Brian Scalabrine.
Oh no no
no no no
no no no
no
no. No, no, no.
I love it. All right, Scal.
It's like the Kembe Mutombo advice, right?
Yeah, that's right. No no no.
No, no, no.
I love that. That's great. Great, Scal. Hey, Merry Christmas, buddy. Thanks for coming on with us. Appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. See ya.
You got it. Thanks, Cal. That's pretty funny. No, no, no. Don't bring that here. He's cool. Cool dude. Cool dude.
Where'd he go? He went to USC, I think.
Yeah, man. I went to the Garden. Saw Havlicek, Cowens. I was right down on the floor with my first little camera. Took pictures of Dave Cowens.
My dad took me the year before they got Larry Bird. Cedric Maxwell was on the team at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they were horrible, obviously, at that point. Mm-hmm. Right before the turnaround. But I remember that vividly.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was my grandfather that took me to a Celtics game, and I was down on the floor before the game, you know, not on the...
Again, did you walk up the tunnel? No, at the beginning. We're out of the tunnel. Remember the old circulating?
Oh yeah. It was
tunnel.
It was like the
smell of cigar smoke.
I liked
the smell of cigar smoke.
The old Boston Garden had hallways that were just all cement, floor to ceiling, and it went around in a circle, and you went up like a parking garage, you know, kind of thing. And when it got jammed in there, concerts and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of people you never went to the old Boston Garden. It was sweaty.
Oh.
It stunk.
Yep.
It had all the character and smoke, like Kelly said.
Wasn't bad in the winter.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it was tough. But there I was on the floor with my little Mamiya Secor camera, 35mm, taking pictures of John Havlicek doing hook shots. It was pretty cool. Anyway, that's how old I am.
He didn't think so.
So I chiseled a note on a rock, and I sent it to my buddy, 652. We're coming right back on Thursday.
This is New England's Buzz.
I don't know what that means, but I'm going to Google it.
Greg in the Morning Buzz.